9:33 our time here on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. 53 degrees our temperature. We're joined now by the national voice of the NCAA tournament and also the NCAA Final Four, the voice of Westwood One, Kevin Kugler, joined us. Kevin, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing great. Appreciate you having me on. As always, it's become kind of our annual tradition.
It has. All we need is a little bit of turkey, and it will be set, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's always a big thing.
Absolutely. Well, hey, I understand you don't have to travel very far for where you're going to be covering the NCAA tournament, right there in Omaha.
No, I'm excited to start in Omaha. I was going to, regardless of what happened, because I live here. But it was doubly nice to get the chance to be at home, and then when they revealed the brackets yesterday, to see some of the potential matchups that we're going to have in Omaha. I'm biased, I know. To me, it's the top spot, even with a 1 and a 2 seed, which sometimes doesn't present itself with the best games. But I'm really intrigued by some of the matchups that we have in Omaha, whether it be the Oregon-Oklahoma State matchup as an 8-9 in our first game, Wichita State-Indiana, another one that I think is very interesting. But that potential Wichita State-Kansas matchup, and teams I know are going to say they're not looking ahead, but you can't tell me that teams aren't looking a little ahead at the potential matchup of Wichita State-Kansas. Tickets are going already off the charts price-wise in Omaha on the secondary market. I'm fired up for that one. I just think that if that's our game, and Indiana can certainly give Wichita State all they want and more. Don't discount Indiana. But if that's our game, that is just going to be awesome. I'm so fired up for that one.
It'll be the second straight year that Wichita State's going to have a shot at one of the Blue Bloods. They had Kentucky, of course, last year in the second round, and that was a great basketball game. And let's start there, as you mentioned, Wichita State and Indiana. And of course, you see the Big Ten, the Big Ten Network. You see Indiana quite a bit. Some people thought they might not get in or they were on the bubble, but they got in fairly comfortably as a number 10 seed. And Dan Dockich was saying last night that he really likes the matchup for Indiana against Wichita State because the Shockers don't have a lot of size inside.
And that's a benefit for Indiana, because when they've run up against teams with size, they've had problems. For Indiana, it's all about spacing the floor, and it's all about hitting threes. If they're able to get their game to the level that they want, which is pace and space, if they can do both of those things, they're going to be just fine. But they've got to hit shots. Yogi Ferrell's as good a point guard as there is in college basketball. He can dominate a game at times, and they've got enough talent to win against most teams. But they also have enough inconsistency to lose in most games, and that's been the problem, obviously, for Indiana this year. They'll come out with a wonderful performance, and then they'll come out with just an absolute head-scratcher. I think the experience of Wichita State in these tournament settings is going to benefit them greatly in this game. The crowd should be on their side for the most part against Indiana at the CenturyLink Center in Omaha. There's still some fans of the Valley who will come out, and, you know, in an old Valley town like Omaha used to be for many, many years with Creighton, that'll still come out and support the Valley team, and I think there are going to be some folks who are going to be out cheering for a Wichita State-Kansas matchup. So I think Indiana is going to be not the crowd favorite, but I do anticipate a very exciting basketball game, and you know, Wichita State's not going to be afraid to go up and down the court a little bit with Indiana as well, so I think it's going to be a fun one.
Were you surprised Wichita State was a 7? Did you think they would be higher?
I did. I thought they'd be a little bit higher based on a couple of things. One, reputation seems to mean something over the years with the committee, and you need look no further than UCLA to see that reputation means something, because based on their resume, UCLA should not be in the NCAA tournament. They've beaten Utah once. That's it. That's basically what they're hanging their hat on as a team, and yet there they are in the field. To me, reputation matters a little bit, especially when you have key players back from successful teams of years past, like Wichita State does, and I did think they'd be a little bit higher, although I don't mind the matchup and I don't mind the spot for them. Running into Kentucky last year when Kentucky got hot like they did was unfortunate for Wichita State, and yet they gave us one of the best games of the tournament last year. That Wichita State-Kentucky game was a fabulous basketball game, and I think Wichita State's got a nice shot to go to the Sweet 16. I don't think this is a bad spot for them. The 7th seed is not where they thought they'd be, but short trip to Omaha, a building they're familiar with playing in from their Valley days, and a team that they're going to be very fired up to play. I mean, you talk about getting the chance to knock off one of the Blue Bloods. They've got two Blue Bloods.
That's
Indiana's
true.
Got some Blue Blood to them, and then, of course, if they beat them, they've got Kansas. This is just what you're looking for if you're a team that's still is saddled at times with the mid-major moniker, although I certainly wouldn't say Wichita State has played to a mid-major label over the last few years.
Before we brought you on, we were talking, Dusty and I, about Kansas fans and the Jayhawks. There are some fans out there that are already freaking out because Kansas, of course, doesn't have anything to gain. They feel playing Wichita State during the regular season. Now, to me, that doesn't apply now. You have everything to gain to get to the Sweet 16 if you get by New Mexico State and if Wichita State beats Indiana. And to me, the reason that some KU fans are riled up about this and where the committee made this really cool matchup, and I personally think it's great, is that I think there's a sense of fear. I think there's a sense of fear from some KU fans that, well, we don't want to play Wichita State because, well, if they win, we'll never hear the end of it. Now, especially in the NCAA tournament, and I think it is a fear that Wichita State might be the better team because Kansas has struggled at times this year against various competition, but yet won the Big 12 title outright, supposedly the Big 12, the best conference in America. And yet, to me, if you got the best coach or the better coach and you've got more talent, Kansas should be the favorite. They will be the favorite. That's a game that Kansas is going to be super motivated and ready to go for, maybe more so than when they played Stanford last year.
It'll get their full attention.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing when it comes to Kansas. You want their full attention if you're Bill Self, and these guys will certainly have their full attention if they get to Wichita State and they match up with those guys on Sunday in Omaha. And that's a positive. As far as the fear factor goes, I can understand why fans would fear this game a little bit, but I don't think you fear it because you're going to have to hear it from people around your office that are Shocker fans. I think you fear it because in a tournament setting, experienced guard play can really be a big deal. Well, Wichita State has that. It's in spades. Experienced, tough guard play. I really think that makes a big difference when it comes to tournament time. Now, Kansas is going to have a large amount of fans in the building. I've been here in both 2008 and 2012 when they started their runs to the Final Four in Omaha. And they certainly figured out a way to get Jayhawk fans in the building. They seem to have great ticket connections or something. I'm not sure what it is, but they get themselves into the buildings and they cheer very loudly. And, of course, there's Kansas fans everywhere. So I assume the crowd will be on their side on Sunday. But Wichita State has played tough games in tough settings over the years in the tournament. They're not going to be daunted by what they see. I hope from the sake of excitement that we get to see a matchup like that. Although, if Indiana beats Wichita State and they go on to play Kansas, that's not exactly a game lacking in drama itself either. So I really don't feel like we can lose in Omaha on Sunday. Either one of those matchups could be great.
The only way you lose is if Kansas, if it's New Mexico State against Indiana, probably.
That's probably not a game that draws the same kind of attention. No, I would agree with you. There's something a little bit less dramatic about that than, say, when you have Kansas play Indiana or when you have Wichita State play Kansas. If you have Wichita State play Kansas, there's a real good chance that is the national game that people are paying attention to because there's so much animosity that's potentially there, but there's just so much drama between a team and Wichita State that's captured the country over the last couple of years in the tournament. You remember last year, I know you guys do, when Wichita State got in, everybody was upset about the fact that here's an undefeated team that got in and they get stuck having to play Kentucky as an 8 seed, and the whole talk was, how is this Kentucky team an 8 seed? And of course, Kentucky proved that they were poorly seeded last year in the tournament because they made that nice run at the end. But now Wichita State's that team that wonders if they were seeded a little too low and they get the chance to take on Kansas or Indiana. I'm excited about both of those things. Wichita State, I think, is going to be a big, big story in Omaha this weekend.
That's an interesting nugget you threw in there, that Kansas, the last two times they've been in Omaha, they've made it to the Final Four. In fact, they made it to the championship game the last two times they've been in Omaha. But this year seems a lot less unlikely because, well, one, it's a tough draw, and then two, of course, Kentucky's at the top of this bracket. Is there anybody in this tournament, or who is most equipped to knock off Kentucky? Who do you think can give them problems in this tournament?
Well, I think Wisconsin in a semifinal matchup is the best chance to give Kentucky a problem. You look at the bracket that Kentucky's in, the Midwest region, and Kansas is the 2 seed. I don't like that matchup for Kansas.
Mm-mm.
Notre Dame is the 3 seed. Not a big fan of that matchup either. In fact, there's just not a lot of teams that match up with Kentucky. You're talking about a team that, if you were to offer up their roster on a draft to the remainder of the teams in the tournament, and you're talking about all just tournament teams now, these teams could pick a player from Kentucky if they wanted and insert them in their starting lineup, there's not too many teams that would turn that down. I mean, you have 8, 9, maybe 10 guys on this Kentucky roster that would start for other tournament teams, but they aren't even starting some of those guys for Kentucky. And that's what makes them so unique this year, and really in this era of college basketball, depth that's unheard of, quality depth that's unheard of. There's a lot of folks who believe the best point guard for Kentucky comes off the bench. The Harrison brothers, though, have the experience. And that's the other thing you think about with this Kentucky team. You think about a young Kentucky team, but they are loaded with clutch tournament experience. Is there anybody you want on your side more than the Harrison brothers in clutch tournament time in this tournament? I don't think there is. And they're back for another run here with a team that seems almost inevitable to be the national champion undefeated. But if there is a team that can cause them problems, and this may be Big Ten bias on my side, but I don't think it is, because everybody who watched the Big Ten tournament this week, whether you're a Big Ten fan or not, you saw what Wisconsin brings to the table. You saw a team that is versatile. You saw a team that, with the development this year of Nigel Hayes, has so many different weapons. With what Bronson Koenig has done at point guard this year for Trayvon Jackson, who's been injured for the last month and a half of the season, you saw the dimension he brings during the tournament as a scorer, as a distributor, as a facilitator. They're deep and they're experienced. I don't know that they can beat Kentucky, because I just think Kentucky is better than everybody else right now. But in a one-game situation in a national semifinal and a really good coach in Bo Ryan, to me, that's the team that's best equipped to derail this Kentucky train.
Kevin Kugler, the national voice of the NCAA tournament, play-by-play on Westwood One, also the voice of the Final Four with us today on the Sports Ticket, breaking down the 2015 NCAA men's basketball tournament bracket. So is there anybody in the Midwest, we mentioned Wisconsin, but is there anybody at all in the Midwest bracket that you think can at least push Kentucky?
I look for Maryland, and they're a four seed. They could match up with them in the Sweet 16. Their depth is not what you'd want it to be to play Kentucky, but again, nobody else's is going to be. But they have a couple of key parts that I think can help them at least compete for a while. They've got a big in Layman who can stretch it out and shoot from three. You've got a very good point guard in Mello Trimble. And I don't know how much Maryland basketball people have watched this year, but this kid, silky smooth, confident, he can score, he can drive and distribute. And then you have Des Wells, who over the last month of the season, I would argue, was, if not the best player in the Big Ten, the second best player behind Frank Kaminsky in the Big Ten Conference. Des Wells did everything right, it seemed, for this Maryland team. And you've got Trimble, you've got Wells, you've got Layman, you've got three key parts. You've got a good coach in Coach Turgeon, who's done a nice job piecing together a team that wasn't supposed to even compete in the Big Ten this year, and they ended up being the number two team in the Big Ten behind Wisconsin. Maryland's a team that I find intriguing in that I think they can give Kentucky a game. I don't think they can beat Kentucky, but I do think in the Sweet 16, keep an eye on Maryland as a potential problem for the Wildcats in that Sweet 16.
Yeah, more Kansas connections there. Mark Turgeon, of course, played at the University of Kansas on a Final Four team in 86, assistant at KU, and then, of course, head coach. He was at Wichita State, did a fine job with the Shockers. So Kentucky, sounds like that's your pick in the Midwest, am I right?
Yeah, I know I'm going out on a limb there,
yeah,
but I'm going to
really
go
are.
With Kentucky in that one. And look, this is an interesting year for this bracket, because I find myself leaning very heavily to a lot of the ones in each of these regions. Mm-hmm. I just think there's just a separation this year that we haven't seen in years past between the top seeds, for the most part, and the rest of the teams. I'm not going to go all four ones in my Final Four bracket, but I do think you've got a chance to see at least two and maybe three ones make it all the way to Indianapolis.
Now, I agree with you, because if Kansas is a two, and I've watched every single game of Kansas this year, Kansas is nowhere near what they've been the last few years. And if Kansas is still a two in a year that supposedly the Big 12 is the best conference in America, they still win it outright, and they're still a two, one of the top eight overall seeds, that tells me that the college basketball as a whole is probably either down or there's a lot more parity. But I agree with you. There's four or five teams probably clearly better than the rest of the field, and so many people talk about upsets going into the bracket, and we may have that. But then again, it might be – we might have the – for the second time ever, we could have four number ones in the Final Four.
I think we're going to see a lot of upsets by seed in the lower games.
Yeah.
You know, I think we'll see a 12 beat a 5, we always do. I think we'll see 10s beat 7s. I think we'll see 9s beat 8s. I think we'll see 11s beat 6s. Those kind of upsets. But when it comes to the cream of the crop in college basketball this year, to me, there is a big separation between, there's Kentucky, there's then a little gap to Wisconsin, then I think there's another gap to Duke. Although I know Duke beat Wisconsin this year in the non-conference season, but that's a long time ago. I think there's another little gap between Wisconsin and Duke. I think Villanova's right there in that conversation. And I think there's a pretty big drop-off after that. I really do. I mean, your twos, I know Gonzaga and Arizona would stand up and say, hey, look at us, look at us. When has Gonzaga really been pushed over the last 3 months? And I think that matters. I mean, you have to look at the, now that they could surprise everybody, and I guess it wouldn't be a huge surprise if a two made the Final Four. But I look at teams that have been pushed hard over the last 3 months and say, give me an example of a time where Gonzaga really got significantly challenged. And people would say, well, what about Kentucky then? They played in the SEC. They got pushed a few times, I think more because Kentucky kind of went into games knowing they were going to win, and the teams did not have their full attention. When teams have Kentucky's full attention, Kansas knows this, UCLA knows this, when teams have their full attention, it's over.
Yeah.
It's done. They just destroy you. They bury you. And everybody's going to have their full attention in the tournament. They've waited all year long to get to this point, and they waited and still went 34-0. Now everybody's got their attention. This is going to be a tough road for people to run into Kentucky.
What about Virginia? You left them out on the ones and two lines. Virginia's had a heck of a year. One of their best players hurt, and they still didn't really miss a beat without him. They play, you know, some people call it ugly basketball. Some people appreciate it because they play solid defense. They don't score a ton of points. Is Virginia in that top echelon group, or do you have them in that second or third tier?
I think they're in the second tier only because they lost their best player. And there were a couple of things I didn't like about Virginia down the stretch to the end of the season. And, you know, they lost three games, so they didn't do a whole lot wrong. But there's just I am not one of those people who looks at their style and says, oh, no, I have a big problem with their style. That style wins basketball games.
Yeah.
They have a great coach. Coach Bennett knows what he's doing. And that style wins games. I don't care about your style, but I do think there are – matchup problems for them starting in the Sunday games. Are they Friday, Sunday, or are they Saturday? They're Thursday, Saturday. They're Friday, Sunday. And in their second game, Michigan State, to me, is a matchup problem for them.
Yeah.
Tom Izzo has had this team playing great basketball for a month. He's rounded them into shape, which is a huge surprise, because Tom Izzo never has teams play well in March. I say with tongue firmly in cheek, because that's what Tom Izzo does, is get teams ready for March. And the matchup is not bad for Michigan State, because if they have to play ugly basketball, guess what? They play ugly basketball. They can play ugly. They'll get down and slug it out with Virginia. They can play a slower pace. They are a tough matchup for Virginia in that second weekend, or the second game of the weekend. Doesn't mean Virginia can't win that game, but I don't like the matchup for Virginia, and that's probably why I have them. I'm a little reluctant to go a long way with them, because I just don't think that matchup is very good for them.
So let's go through the brackets here real quick. You got Kentucky and out of the Midwest. Who do you see in the Elite Eight against Kentucky in the Midwest?
Well, your Elite Eight matchups, I think I like Maryland coming out of that over West Virginia. Notre Dame, I think, what they did in the ACC at the end of the season to beat Duke and North Carolina in the tournament, I like that team. That's an old-school team that's experienced. It's got good players. I think Notre Dame's got a nice shot to make it into that area. And then you look at, I'm obviously going Sweet 16, then you go Kansas at that point, or Wichita State. From an Elite Eight matchup, boy, I'm hard-pressed not to think that Notre Dame's going to be there as the Elite Eight team to take on Kentucky. And I think they fall short, because I think Kentucky makes it to the Final Four.
I agree with you there. In the West, you have Wisconsin, it sounds like, probably in the Elite Eight. Do you have them winning that bracket?
I do. I have them winning the West. I think Arizona is, again, a notch below, and I think the experience factor comes into play when you're talking about those two teams. I think Wisconsin's experience, this is another one of those teams that has been very driven this year to make it back. They feel like they had the Wildcats on the ropes last year in the Final Four, didn't finish it, and this is a team that feels like they are back for a purpose, and that purpose is to finish the job this year. And sometimes those driven teams, that's an X factor, that when you add it in with well-coached teams and excellent talent, to make a difference. And so I give Wisconsin the edge there. I think they come out of the West.
I think there's two dangerous teams in that bracket, though. You know, Baylor, with the way they play in the zone as a three, and they've had success in the tournament. And then North Carolina, Roy Williams teams, it seems like the last handful of years, you just don't know what you're going to get. But the Carolina is certainly capable of making a run. They have so much talent. But they, I think, probably have a difficult draw right off the bat against Harvard. Is that bracket, you think, the most difficult, the West, or is there another region you like that's tougher?
Oh, no. I think that's by far the most loaded area. And yeah. I agree with you about Baylor. I mean, you go all the way down to that 7-10 matchup in that region. I'm so intrigued by VCU and Ohio State. VCU is obviously going to create havoc. They're going to press. They're going to cause problems for you. But what helps you beat a press? Good guard play. What does Ohio State have? They have one of the best point guards in college basketball in D'Angelo Russell, who, if you have not had the chance to watch him play, please turn on that game during the tournament and check out D'Angelo Russell before he goes to the NBA, which is whenever Ohio State leaves the tournament this year, because he's done. He's on his way out. He's NBA ready. He is a fascinating player to watch. He is talented. He can score. He can distribute. He is nonplussed by everything he sees. I mean, his facial expression will not change no matter what VCU throws at him. And to me, that's a great example of how stacked that area and that region is. You go to the 8th seed in Omaha, Oregon, not a deep team, but Dane Altman may have done his best coaching job this year in a career filled with very good coaching jobs. He's the Pac-12 coach of the year. He's got the player of the year in Joseph Young. That's the 8th seed.
Yeah.
That West is really, really stacked with talent. And I love what you said about Baylor. I agree with you 100% on them. And I think people overlook Arizona. And I don't want to be one of those people, because they play in the West and they play in the Pac-12. And I don't know how many people really spend a lot of time with Pac-12 basketball. But Arizona's really, really good. I just think they got stuck in a place that they're going to run into a very driven and very talented Wisconsin team.
I agree with you. The West is certainly loaded. Now, the East seems to be maybe as wide open as any of the regions. The number one seed is Villanova. The number two, we mentioned Virginia. The number three, Oklahoma. And the four seed is Louisville. For me personally, I think the winner of Virginia, Michigan State, if that's the matchup in the second round, very well could be your Final Four recipient out of that region. Who do you like out of the East?
I like Villanova because I think they are, again, experienced guard play is really big. And I think they have a couple of other teams, though, that I think you need to keep an eye on in this East that are lower seeds. You left out UNI as you went 1-4. They're
yeah,
a five
true.
Seed.
Yep.
That UNI-Wyoming game, if you love offense, that's a game you should avoid like the plague, because that might be a 1st-40 kind of game.
Yeah.
UNI and Wyoming are not going to score a lot of points.
Right.
Northern Iowa's style is such that they're going to frustrate you with that style. But I like them, and I like them in a matchup against Louisville. Now, Montrezl Harrell could bother Tuttle on the inside a little bit for UNI, but Louisville doesn't seem to me to be quite the same team that they were before the Chris Jones departure, and I think UNI can win that game. The other low-seed team to keep an eye on is Providence. Now, Providence gets the benefit of playing a team in Boise State or Dayton that will come off of that first four game. But that if Providence and Oklahoma match up, man, is that an exciting game. And Chris Dunn for Providence is spectacular. I mean, he is just a fabulous player. And if guard play carries you in a tournament, he's good enough to carry that team to the Sweet 16. Now that team's an inconsistent team. Mm-hmm. So they're inconsistent enough to lose to Boise State or Dayton,
sure.
Or certainly to Oklahoma, who's had its own share of inconsistencies this year. But I really, that Providence-Oklahoma matchup's fascinating to me. That's a hard bracket for me, that
yep.
East bracket, because while I think Villanova's good enough to come out, I also think Virginia could come out of that thing. And I also think, based on matchups, you could see Oklahoma make their way all the way into an Elite Eight / Final Four situation.
And then finally in the South, Duke, the number one seed, the two seed Gonzaga, we talked about them. Iowa State, I think a dangerous three seed. Four seed Georgetown, it always seems to flame out early in the tournament. And then Utah is a five, and that's an interesting 5-12 matchup against Stephen F. Austin, former K-State Brad Underwood's head coach up there, if I remember right. So what do you think about the South? Who's coming out of that?
I like Stephen F. Austin to upset Utah, by the way. That's my 12-5. Utah did not play well down the stretch. Stephen F. Austin, very, very good, and again, underrated. They always are. I think that's an upset that I'm not putting it in pen, but I'm probably writing it over in pencil twice to make it a little darker, because I feel pretty good about that one. I like that matchup. I think the South region has the potential for the best games on the second weekend, because I think you've got Duke, who with Jahlil Okafor could beat anybody in the country. You have Georgetown, who depending on the day could be really, really good with their style that's going to frustrate some teams.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can be, if Devontae Smith-Rivera doesn't play, they can be terrible like they were for most of their game against Xavier in the Big East semifinals. If he doesn't play well, then Georgetown could lose very early in this thing. You've got Iowa State, who's I'm leaning towards bringing out of that region as my pick to the Final Four. I love battle-tested teams at this time of the year, and Iowa State responds to adversity maybe better than any team that I've seen in the field this year. I don't know how many times I've looked up and there's Iowa State down by double digits,
yeah,
and Iowa State comes back to win a game. Fred Hoiberg never gets flustered on the sidelines. I think he's a tremendous coach. The style that he's brought, the players he's brought, I love what Iowa State does. And Gonzaga is so big and is so underratedly talented that it's not going to surprise me at all if they go into the Final Four from that spot. I'm leaning Iowa State right now, but for some reason I'm not buying into Duke. And they're the number one seed, but I'm not fully buying into them. I'm excited, and I'm in Houston, so maybe I'm more excited about that than others because I'm going to be there calling the games. But I really think those are some really interesting teams that have the chance to be there for the South region.
Well, I'm glad you didn't pick Duke. Otherwise, you've been pretty boring. Kentucky, Wisconsin,
yeah,
and Villanova. Chalk, 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 and chalk. I'm trying to figure out what my picks are. I've got Kentucky. I know that's a shocker. And I've got Virginia. And I don't know. I always pick Duke because I don't really want them to go that far. I'll sacrifice my bracket. It's reverse psychology.
You're basically just trying to jinx them?
Yes, that's pretty much what I'm trying to do. Yeah,
that's terrible.
Yeah,
you're picking all the teams you hate.
Yeah, I know. It's a horrible way to do it. You know, someday maybe I'll do well in this bracket contest and win some bucks doing it. I don't know. It hasn't worked yet, though, for me. And I like Wisconsin. Arizona, I think, would be a great Elite Eight matchup. So, do you have Kentucky winning the whole thing?
I do. Yeah, I think this team goes undefeated. I think they go down as one of the best teams in the history of college basketball. And people, generations will debate, was this team better than this team or this team? If you make the run through this tournament and you make it all the way undefeated as the team that everybody around the country is hoping figures out a way to stumble at some point, and you go through undefeated, it's hard for me not to say, in this era of college basketball, you wouldn't be the greatest team we've ever seen. And the fact that Coach Calipari has been able to convince these guys, all McDonald's All-Americans for the most part, to play a role that they've never had to play before. Whether you're a starter or a reserve, you go into these games knowing that 20 minutes is about all you're going to see on the floor. And to convince these guys who all have NBA aspirations and likely have NBA careers ahead of them, to play a role like this for the good of a team that they're not even really going to be with for the next 3 or 4 years is a masterful stroke of coaching. And they've been able to do it all year long, and now this is what they have waited all year for. I just think they're better than everybody else. I think they won the national championship.
Yeah, I can't go against that logic at all. Okay, a couple of questions before we let you go here. Real quickly, K-State had a really rough year, a lot of high expectations. It sounds like Nebraska went through the same thing.
No question. Nebraska, maybe the most disappointing team in the Big Ten Conference this year. They were picked to be in the top four. They brought almost everybody back from a year ago and were awful for a good portion of the season. So you're talking about a team that has some work to do. Now they're very high on the recruiting class that they're bringing in. They've got a kid who's one of the top contenders for the City League Player of the Year in the city of Chicago. They've got a young man from Iowa that they're very excited about. They've got another guy from Illinois that they're very excited about. And they've got an Australian sharpshooter. One thing they need is shooters, and they're happy to have this kid as well. So, plus they've got Andrew White, the transfer from Kansas, who is expected to play a very big role next year for Nebraska now that he's done with his redshirt year after transferring. They're excited about the prospects, and they need some help. And Tim Miles is hopeful that these guys get it done. But it was a ragged year, to say the least, for Nebraska.
All right, four final four questions for you, since we're talking about the Final Four.
Yep.
One for you, best conference in America for you. Who was the best conference?
For me, best conference in America was the Big 12. I think this year the Big 12 showed that they're, and I gauge best conferences by depth, and okay. I think the depth of that conference to me was what set them apart. Everybody's going to look at their, I talked to a guy earlier today, he says, oh, everybody in that league's got 8, 9, 10 losses. Well, yeah, they were beating up on each other. They cannibalized each other. Look for the Big 12 to have a good tournament because of what they went through in conference play.
I'm glad you quantified that, because a lot of people will just say best conference, but they won't say what's their criteria. Like, for some people,
me,
it's the top
depth.
Of it. Sometimes it's depth.
If you're
yeah.
gauging a conference, you're yeah. going top to bottom.
Yeah.
Is my bottom team going to beat your bottom team? Mm. Now, that's not the sole criteria. I don't look at the worst team versus the worst team and say, well, all right, your worst team's better, so you're the best conference. But
right.
I think top to bottom, if you stacked up the Big 12 this year with other leagues, I think you'd find that the Big 12 is probably the best league this year.
Okay. Who's your partner for the Final Four? It's not Rafferty. It's Clark, isn't it?
It's Clark Kellogg and John Thompson. Hopefully Coach Thompson will be there. He had a little surgery a couple of weeks ago and is not going to be with us on Westwood One for the first couple of weekends, but we're hopeful that he will be back for the Final Four to join me and Clark Kellogg. I did the Big East semifinals this weekend with Clark. Had a great time. Really looking forward to it.
If you weren't doing what you're doing today, what occupation would you have?
No, I have no idea. I've said this so many times. Look, I have no real discernible skills. I am not handy. I can't build things. I'm terrible at almost all of that stuff. I don't know. I'd probably be working in an office somewhere, crunching numbers. I initially started in business school before I realized I wasn't particularly good at that, but I'm sure I would have fallen back on that at some point just to try to eke out a living doing that as opposed to eking out a living doing broadcasting.
And finally, the most important question of the entire day that you will be asked, have you ever kissed Ashley Judd?
I have not. I would be more than willing to, but I have not had the opportunity to do so. So, no, that is not something that has ever occurred to me.
I hope your wife's not listening when you said that. Kevin wouldn't say that if his wife was around, I would bet. But
exactly,
that was
exactly.
pretty crazy. Hey, man, we appreciate your time as always, and I'm so happy for you and everything that you do. You're getting to live the dream that a lot of people would love to live. And I know it's probably hard sometimes balancing family and travel and everything else, but just congratulations on all your success. We really enjoy listening to you and watching on TV as well. And have a great call in the NCAA tournament, and we'll do it again next year, okay?
I appreciate it, Wade. It's always nice to come on with you. Thanks for the time.